Yourself, unmute yourself. Margaret is a housing policy attorney with Legal Aid Sonoma County. Margaret, good morning. How are you? Uh-oh. Wait. Hold on. My fault. My fault. I didn't have the button pushed. There you go. Good morning, Margaret.
That's okay.
My fault. Lots of little buttons here to push. And every once in a while I space out. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to be here, because I know it. You've got a really busy schedule, and but I know this is a passion subject of yours, to help more people have more affordable housing. And it isn't just purchase of housing. There's also a lot of rental housing that provides the framework for our policies. So I suppose we should start with the role of evictions and tenant displacement in the affordability housing crisis here, and the laws that affect the slow evictions protect tenants aspect, because we've just recently heard that there are a lot more evictions going on. At least I've heard in Southern California, there are a lot of illegal evictions going on. After the moratorium expired on those evictions during COVID. What do you want our listeners to know about this?
Yeah, I think, you know, Sonoma County has been fortunate during, if we're just speaking about the pandemic period, we've been really fortunate to have a local ordinance that is pretty strict in limiting the amount of evictions that can proceed. It's been with us for a few years now. So, you know, back in 2019, the state passed the Tenant Protection Act of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was always very excited. I worked in San Francisco and we had immense protections, but I was always excited to come and work somewhere that didn't have protections, you know, to see how the state law would work and would it actually be protective. And as soon as it took effect, pretty much 2 months later, we hit the COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we haven't seen how protective it could be, but we do know that there are a lot of loopholes. Mm-hmm. And one of the loopholes is, you know, the Ellis Act. The Protection Act allows a landlord to withdraw a rental property from the rental market. So this is kind of, by tenant advocates, this is like the thing that we focus on the most, because you're removing rental property. So mm-hmm. you're getting rid of housing, you know, for tenants.
Right.
And it is the most abused. And because it's allowed by the county moratorium, it's a state law, so they have to allow it. Without any kind of implementing ordinance that puts restrictions on how it's used, mm-hmm. that, you know, bigger areas in the Bay have, Berkeley, Oakland, Alameda, San Francisco, and Southern California, obviously, then Ellis is just flagrantly abused here. And I've witnessed it even in my housing policy capacity. So, you know, when we talk about preserving affordable housing, if we're bleeding affordable housing in the form of displacement, then we're going to have to play catch up on producing units. It's a lot cheaper to keep the existing housing stock, and to preserve and maintain it is one of the elements of the housing element law. You know, the framework that you were talking about that we need to pass a housing element plan in each jurisdiction. And that, you know, doesn't get focused on a lot. I think people tend to focus on affordable housing and where's it going to be located? Is it going to be in my backyard? What are the parameters of it? But, you know, to stop and say, what do we have? We can meet some of our requirements by making sure that this affordable housing that we have stays affordable, or, you know, that tenants have some protections.
It's a really important aspect of the entire piece of the pie. I think most of us probably know somebody who has been upset by some type of an eviction over the past few years because the pandemic basically turned everything upside down, inside out, and then back upside down again. So it really yeah. did cause huge amounts of displacement. Let's shift a little bit to the housing element plan. How has the county and the city of Sonoma's housing element plan, which is part of the general plan, how is that a one-time per decade opportunity to remedy these housing inequities? And how is it going to preserve affordable housing?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've been kind of nerding out on. but I think the average person is like, I don't want to know about housing element because it's just, it's a lot. It's very cumbersome. And but it is a system of laws passed by the state, and the state recently gave those laws teeth because jurisdictions weren't meeting their numbers. They weren't mm-hmm. meeting their low-income housing numbers, and they were overproducing their above moderate and above moderate mm-hmm. income bracket type housing. And so we have to fix the status. We can't keep the status quo, right? So the only way to upset the status quo is pretty much to upset all of Sonoma County, right? Because no one was happy with the numbers that they were assigned.
Right.
I mean, no one was. Everybody wants to preserve, you know, Sonoma County as it is. And unfortunately, if we keep the status quo, we're excluding a lot of folks, and we all know that. Yeah. I mean, Sonoma County is not a diverse place. It's not a place that's easy for people who have low income or extremely low income to find housing. And in fact, like when, you know, legal aid represents people who are being evicted, and most of those tenants do move, and there's nowhere to move. I mean, there is no housing, period. But there's nowhere that they can afford, you know.
Yeah.
I had a woman who was evicted via the Ellis Act that I was working with, and she's crashing on someone's couch, you know, but otherwise she would have been living in her car. And she's a longtime Sonoma County resident. People end up getting displaced to other parts of the Bay that are more affordable, and then, you know, either commuting in for their job. So there's a lot in housing element about, you know, transit oriented communities and, you know, making sure that people are close to where they work and where they eat, you know, incorporating climate change into the formulation. And when we displace people, you know, we're not only harming that person's life or upsetting their community, and we're also harming the environment, right? Because there's more commute time. So anyhow, the housing element plan, it is happening. It's happening in Sonoma County at the county level, which, you know, I know a lot of Sonoma, the city of Sonoma, is surrounded by really important neighborhoods that are unincorporated. And they are releasing their plan to the public this summer.
Okay.
Sonoma County, and once it's released, the public has an opportunity to comment on it for 30 mm-hmm. days. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the city of Sonoma. I don't see that they've released their plan yet. It looks like the end of this month is when they're talking about releasing it, at which time, you know, I'll take a look. I mean, these things are like 400 pages long, but I'll take a look.
That's a big, long plan.
Some commentary.
And back in. We are back. It is the Morning Show, Monday morning, the 18th of July. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host, until 10 o'clock this morning. And we've been talking with Margaret DiMatteo. She is a housing policy attorney with Legal Aid Sonoma County. Margaret, thank you again for being here this morning. It's great to go over the details of this, which can be difficult to grasp. Like you said, the housing element report that should be coming out from the city perhaps by the end of this month is some 400 pages long, right? that's a lot,
yeah,
to chew.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little shorter in Sonoma, but Santa Rosa's was roughly 400 pages, yeah.
Ooh, That's a lot to cover. And so no wonder it's tricky for a lot of us to understand these things. So talking about the housing element, tell us a little bit about, you know, the crystal ball here. What happens theoretically if the housing element plan is inadequate or it's not implemented once the state approves it? What then are some of the outcomes?
Yeah, so it has to be submitted by January of next year. Mm-hmm. So it's submitted to the state, to HCD, and they have to review it, which obviously is going to take time mm-hmm. because everyone is submitting in January for Northern California. And then they will issue basically a letter to a jurisdiction saying your housing element falls short, you need to fix these areas.
Okay.
And they can't say like you must enact a just cause ordinance, but they could say like a tenant protection ordinance, but they could say, you know, your plan fails to address how you will maintain and preserve existing housing mm-hmm. in Sonoma. Okay. So that's one area that they've been coming back with in Southern California. You know, you can look to Southern California to see what HCD has kicked back on and pushed back on.
Okay. Okay.
And the other thing is that's definitely probably going to be an issue is, you know, the whole crux of housing element is to it's called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, AFFH. It's mm-hmm. a term that those of us in the field are really used to, but it's supposed to be, you know, the guiding principle of the housing element plan. And in my experience, I've seen that it's kind of an afterthought. You see it at the bottom of a list of things that we have to consider. Mm-hmm. Really, it should provide the framework of why we're doing this and how do we do it. So I know some jurisdictions have had their plans kicked back for failing to show how their plan affirmatively furthers fair housing.
Okay.
And so what could happen is the jurisdiction they have an opportunity to amend, you know, and then they have to maybe solicit more public feedback. And then, you know, ultimately, if and when it's approved, if they can't do it, the state can come in and, you know, say, all right, we're going to do it for you. Or,
which is never a good thing. Which is never a good thing.
That's not what anybody wants.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's a loss of local control. Right.
No one wants that.
Right.
So if it is approved, then, the state, you know, it's a 8-year cycle. So the jurisdiction has time to implement it, but that is going to be monitored by HCD and also by, you know, housing nonprofits. Because the new law created a right to sue if a jurisdiction isn't meeting their housing element plan. So, for instance, you know, I'm not going to name names or say that Legal Aid would sue, but like a nonprofit that's really focused in on housing element, like a watchdog, they could mm-hmm. sue to force the city to follow their own plan.
Right.
So it's going to be a long process, you know, to see how this all plays out. But hopefully, you know, jurisdictions will draft a good plan. There's been really good consultants in Sonoma County that have been helping with this process. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm hopeful and I'm excited that, you know, we're finally making some progress in this area. We'll just have to actually do it. But getting the plan in place is the first
right.
step.
And it sounds like, you know, it's slow going at first because it's kind of a first stab at it. Mm-hmm. But it does sound like there is at least some give and take back and forth between the state and local municipalities in terms of, shall we say, grading the plan
yeah.
and the public. Public always gets their 30 days to review, although 30 days to review a 400 plus page guide is a lot
yeah.
to manage. But everybody is trying to do their best, which is the important thing there. And I guess perhaps an example is in order here, Margaret. Can you provide an example? You don't have to use Sonoma in particular. You could use somebody else. How local jurisdictions impede the state laws that are geared towards producing housing. What are some of the things that local jurisdictions do that make this all more difficult?
I mean, there have been other laws passed. Like SB9 was passed last year. It took effect in January, mm-hmm. and we saw a lot of jurisdictions kind of racing to get ahead of its effective date to put in place restrictions. So SB9 allows a homeowner to subdivide their lot. And, you know, it's kind of dreamy thinking to think, like, this is going to solve our housing crisis. All these homeowners are going to split their lot, and then they're going to rent it out at an affordable rate. I mean, it's very hopeful.
Well, it reminded me of the Hillsborough example. They tried to turn the entire town into like a wildlife sanctuary
district
or something like that, to avoid being able to implement SB9.
Yeah, those are extreme examples. I can't remember which towns. I know there was one, I think Los Gatos. They, you know, tried to make most of the town a historic area, or up here we could say, oh, you know, the whole town of Cloverdale is a fire zone, so
right.
know, we can't adopt this. Mm-hmm. We can't allow for this. Okay. So those are ways. And then there's more subtle ways of, like, you know, making it so cumbersome to build and divide and to get the permits. There's ways to keep gatekeeping mechanisms to keep homeowners from actually using this law that perhaps somebody really needs. Maybe it's like a senior who has always owned their property, but they need a supplemental income, you know.
Good
and
point.
If they could create this additional unit, then they would. That would be the difference between them eating well. I mean, there are situations where it really could help somebody's life. And one thing I just should tie in is, like, this is how a lot of jurisdictions are planning on meeting their housing element, is through SB9 and in-law units, mm-hmm. and subdivisions of existing lots. Primarily because that's the nature of the town, right? Like the city of Sonoma, it doesn't have a lot of areas for the creation of housing. And so one reason that the jurisdictions have been pinged by HCD is if they rely too heavily on that for their housing production goals, because history will show, and we could, you know, run a public records request to see how many permits have been applied for and issued to create a new unit under that law. You know, it's not going to create very much.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's one way.
We're out of time, Margaret. It flies by faster than you can imagine.
I
know you wanted to leave listeners with a website address that they could use for reference if they've got questions. What would you like them to know?
Yeah. So Permit Sonoma, you know, a lot of Sonoma Valley is unincorporated, and it's mm-hmm. really important in general for the county and local jurisdictions to solicit public feedback on their housing element plan. And part of that isn't just looking at it, reading it, and critiquing it. It's answering surveys about what is important to them in the county. So Permit Sonoma, if you just Google, Permit Sonoma housing element update. I can't give you the link to it because I've already taken the survey, but on their housing element plan, there's a Sonoma County housing element policy survey, one in Spanish and in English. Share them widely. I was on their advisory committee. I know they take this seriously.
Yeah.
So please share those, take those if you're a resident of Sonoma County, period. And then for anybody who's listening who could be facing legal trouble for eviction, or just has some questions about their tenancy. You know, you can always go to our website, legalaidsc.com. And there's a lot of resources there, and including our intake form. So anyhow, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to talk about the things that I love that my husband is tired of hearing about.
We've been talking with Margaret DiMatteo. She is a housing policy attorney with Legal Aid Sonoma.